What a beautiful Sunday. What a beautiful reading. What a beautiful service already. And we continue today our stewardship season here at Berea UMC. And it is going to be a guide for a good stewardship. And of course, our main guide is the Word of God, as always. Today we are going to stop and see and think about how to serve with your income. And now, some of you may be thinking about, Timo, come on, how does it fit to this service today? We celebrate All Saints Day and we have communion service, and now you are going to ruin the whole thing by preaching about money. Because that's how we sometimes feel, the preaching about money is not really our thing. Yet it is. It is. Listen to this, and you may grow to understand what serving with your income really means in the eyes of God. And I'm trying to make this topic that is sometimes so very, very challenging, I'm going to try to make it simple. I'm a simple-minded man, so I don't anyway try to make it too complicated things, but I think there are a few things that we Christians especially need to recognize. You might call them principles on using your income to serve the Lord and His church. First principle is that God is the source, the main source of all your wealth, you call wealth, whatever it is. And you've been asked to be stewards of His resources, not the owner. You are just a steward. And it is a very good place to be. Key principles include honoring God first through practices like giving and tithing. You can call it tithing. It is persistent giving toward God's kingdom. You have made deal with God Himself, using your income to further His kingdom and trusting Him with your financial future as well, as opposed to making money your primary goal for this life. You say, Timo, I don't have that problem to make money my primary goal. But you see, many people have. Many people have. Majority of people really do believe that the money is the primary goal in this life and wealth. So if you get this concept right, it will shift your perspective from serving money to serving God with your money. You know, there's a big difference. Serving God with your money and resources, financial resources He has given to you, which involves living generously, encouraging people to live the same way, and then providing your church and its ministry by your financial contributions. So first of all, we acknowledge God as the source. God is the source of our financial well-being. This means we recognize that all we have, including your income, come from God. It comes from God. And this understanding is foundational to serving the Lord with your wealth. Let's go back to this story that we just read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and first 10 verses. I think Gordon did a wonderful, wonderful job in explaining this to children. We may ask her to preach about this one Sunday, coming Sunday. She did an incredible job. Anyway, This Zacchaeus, and however you pronounce his name is all right, because these biblical names are so challenging. I'm coming from Europe, but we have been taught since we learned to speak to pronounce his name a little differently, obviously, than y'all here. So please excuse me but at least we know that we are talking about the same person here in the Bible. So Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he was anxious. We don't know why, But he was anxious to see Jesus. Actually, he was so anxious that as he heard that Jesus is passing Jericho, last time, actually, as entering, going to Jerusalem, this was the last and final stop for Jesus to stop in Jericho. So he wanted to see and possibly talk, if possible, talk to Jesus. But he was a very short guy. He was shorty man. He was short guy. So as people keep on coming and filling up the place where Jesus was, he realized, I can't see. There's no way for me to see beyond these people. So what he decided to do, he climbed into the sycamore tree, which is a fig tree, to see Jesus better. So there he was. It was actually not very normal way for man in his position. Actually, it was kind of undignified way for man in his position to climb up in the tree to see somebody. But that's what he ended up doing. So here he was, looking at Jesus, trying to listen what he says, maybe trying to make connection, who knows. But when Jesus was approaching and Jesus was passing by the tree, all of a sudden Jesus stopped as everybody else. And Jesus looked up. And there he finds Zacchaeus hanging out in the tree, up in the tree. So Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you need to come down immediately. Can you see this what was happening? I think it was so profound thing how Jesus finds Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus found Jesus. Simple word, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. And that's all Jesus said. And Zacchaeus came down. You can almost read between the lines that Zacchaeus said that Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you better come down right away, because I am going to fix you up, man. You cheater. I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to make your life different. You have adopted a very, very different lifestyle. Very, very unorthodox lifestyle. I'm going to stop it. No, he didn't say anything like that. He didn't preach to Zacchaeus about stewardship whatsoever. He just asked this man to come down, because I am going to be at your house tonight. At your house tonight. It was a simple invitation. And Bible says that Jesus accepted this invitation, and Zacchaeus was happy to have Jesus over at his house. Now, in the presence of other people, please understand, in the presence of other people, Zacchaeus confessed, he repented. Without hearing one stewardship sermon, without hearing anything from anything else from Jesus, but in the presence of Jesus, can you see this? This man just smelled it. This cheater just smelled it. He realized, I got it all wrong. There are bigger issues in this world than collecting and cheating people on their taxes. Now, tax collectors, please understand, they made themselves as a middleman. They were making lots of money on taxes. They were cheating, and they were helping each other to become wealthier and wealthier. They gave special deals to some people, and they were harsh to some other people to gain wealth, more wealth. And then, of course, certain portion of that they collected taxes, they had to send to Rome, which is occupying Palestine at that time. So please understand, Palestine and Israel was under Roman occupation at that time. So they were working for Roman Empire. So they were not appreciated people at all. They were really, really not appreciated people at all in the eyes of Jews. So this man repented in the presence of Jesus. He said, Jesus, I give half of my wealth back to the poor. Half of what I owe, I give back to the poor. That must be a loss of resources. going to pastor's discretionary fund. When he had it on, he said, I gave four times back to those I've been cheating on taxes, four times back to those what I have taken from them. They will get four times back what I have taken by cheating them on taxes. After listening to this man and seeing how honest he was repenting, Jesus says, now the salvation has come to this house. Now the salvation has come to this house. And you may say, well, Timo, that's a wonderful story. I really like that little guy. He really got what he deserved, and he obviously got his life right. No, this is your story and my story too. This is our story. Namely, I can preach to you and to ourselves, to us, to myself on stewardship every single day, all year long. It won't do any good if preaching or message or reading won't bring you into the presence of Jesus Christ. Your heart won't change a bit before you're being brought in the presence of Christ. You see that He is my ultimate source for any well-being I might have today. He's the provider. He's the giver of life. He's actually all that I have. And anything else I've been thinking about is my misconception, because only thing I have real is really Jesus Christ and His love and mercy for me. What this all means, that we get this concept right with Zacchaeus, it means that we must get our priorities right with God over money, really. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what the Bible says. We cannot serve both. Serve both God and money. We can't do it. The choice you make with your income reveals actually who you truly value in this world. Through your actions, through your life, through your service. Up to the point that it actually answers to you who you really worship in this life. Do you worship God or do you worship money? You say, Timo, I'm not worshiping money. Well, you're the one who knows it. Where your treasure is, there is your money too. No, it can't be that way. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Am I right? There your heart will be also. If Christ is your treasure, that's where your heart is. If anything else is your treasure, whether you like it, that's where you go. That's where your interest is. That's where you really value. That is where your heart goes. And you have very little interest for anything else at all. According to the Bible, we are serving God through our giving. Jesus says, I have come to serve, not to be served. I have come to give. Tithes and giving are the first fruits, according to our reading this morning. You give the first portion of your income back to God. It can be called as a tangible act of faith. It is your obedience, it is your trust, and it is what you have decided to provide as your love response to God, who is the provider. So we use our income to support the work of God's kingdom, such as supporting our church ministry, our mission. When we say mission of Berea United Methodist Church, we mean the general ministry of our church. There's nothing else going on in this church except the mission of Berea UMC, am I right? Anything and everything is related to mission, which is to make disciples one way or another. By serving, ministering, preaching, teaching, witnessing, helping others, building, repairing, sending money overseas, sending money locally, helping the poor, helping the homeless. It's all missional what we do here. We don't have anything else going on in this church. It's all related to our mission, which is making disciples and loving Christ and helping this community. And it takes your income. Look around this building. Over 100 years ago, some people believed that Berea UMC needs congregation. Well, at that time, it was a Berea Methodist South called, this church needs home to have their services. Some people put lots of their income at that time forward to get this done. And many, many other actions after that. Last week we repaired that wall. There are volunteer trustees, members voluntarily. We had a water leak and it ruined that wall, and they took the old patching down and paint down, and they did a few days work there, and it looked like a brand new now. But many, many, many other things, many other things. We have some plans for this property now. This what we call our church home. We have big plans. We are serving God by our service, but by our income as well. Now, stewardship means that you trust God with yourself and with your finances. With yourself and with your finances. What this means is that you don't put your security in wealth. Actually, I meet weekly people who once used to do that. They put their security in the wealth. And here they are wandering around the community homeless. You can't put your security in your wealth. You've got to put your security in God. Avoid making money your primary source of security, because it can be taken away from you by different reasons. Instead, trust in God for your security. That is what happened to Zacchaeus. What else it means that God wants you to be generous with your income to bless others and provide needs of this church and needs of the ministry? And I believe if you pray, like many people are praying, God is willing to open up opportunities for you to serve and bless others. Now, finally, steward your resources means serve God with all you have. Please underline, with all you have. You really can't serve God with financial resources that you don't have. We understand that. So if you say that, well, there are other wealthier people in the church who can serve this church better than I have, so you exclude yourself out. No, no, no. God is not asking you to serve financially through the resources of others. But he's asking us to serve with the resources that he has given to us to serve, you see? So in the eyes of God, the resources you are using to serve God is as important as anybody else's resources in the church. It is your heart that makes difference, you see? And sometimes we say, people saying, well, I don't have much financial resources, so I keep on serving. I keep on serving in different places, which is wonderful. That is what ministry is all about. I serve here and there, and I kind of take care of my stewardship by serving. Yes, it is wonderful. But here's the thing. When our finance department go to pay our bills, or they pay taxes and utilities and you name it, go to talk to them how much there are expenses in today's world. And then, of course, providing our staff. When you go to utility office and they would explain to lady there, well, I have this bill here, but we have so many people serving in this community. And I know that they know us. They say, we know it. That's wonderful. You are known, well known about your service. Guys, you are everywhere in this community. We know it. We appreciate that. We have heard it. But then they say, you still got to pay this bill. Because we can't take your service to the bank. God has called you to serve his kingdom also with your income. That is not excluded, that is included. Why? To bless you. To bless you and his kingdom. Think of yourself as a manager of God's assets. You're the one. Sometimes it's good to engage in conversation with God about your resources and ask God's direction how to use your resources to bless the ministry of Jesus Christ through this church. To be effective for the glory of God. Use your talents and abilities as well. This is something we preach more next Sunday. Serve God not just with your money, which is included, your income, yes, but by using your talents and abilities in a way that will honor Him and bless others. In this church, we have so many talented people, I'm telling you. As a pastor, I feel that my first calling is to build up leadership with talented people. And now it's been nomination time, and we've been trying to call people and get them serving and bring them into the ministry. If you are not serving any of these teams, it doesn't mean that you are not talented or you have been ignored. No. You can serve God powerfully without being any part of any of these teams. But we got to have these teams in place to have organization and leadership. But I challenge this me every time, but who would be better than anybody else serving in that capacity? And I take it to my nomination team, and we are happy to find somebody. We know we got it. This person is the best person serving because he had a gift and talent to do that. That's a wonderful thing. And as a preacher, I'm always challenging myself, who can do better than you, preacher, can do it? And there are many, many people who can do it better. I said, go for it. Lead us and make this community better. Our Old Testament reading in Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 says, you remember this reading George read, but here's one more time. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. This is your income. This is also all the talents and gifts God has given to you. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine, because you are receiving God's blessings. You feel you are important. Your life has purpose. You are part. Timo, you say, Timo, it's so little thing I can do. No, no, no. Your portion is as important, as large as anybody else. You've got to use it. You've got to use it. Okay, going back to this, what I asked, Timo, why you preach some money on this very special Sunday? Well, because money is needed. And then when we look around this church building and many other things that this church members in the past and the present are doing, they have chosen to serve the Lord with their income. Without excuses, some of them being sacrificed a lot, making choices. Okay, I could choose this and this. I could probably make a trip. I can do that, but I put Lord first. And they have sacrificed, and their life has been so very big blessing for the church community called Berea UMC. This is what we do. We serve, and we also serve with our income. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.